Welcome to Life in Full Expression with me, your host, Beth Wolf. In this show, we will explore, elevate, expand, and learn how to live your best life. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to live your life in full expression or create an expansive vision for your future? Get ready to be energized to fully express yourself, discover your heart's clarity for dynamic direction and life decisions, and develop your unique capabilities so you are delivering your ever-increasing capacities into your world. Join me, Beth Wolf, and unleash the limitless capabilities of your soul, experiencing amazement, collaboration, fun, and purpose. Life in Full Expression starts now.
Welcome, everybody. It's Happy Halloween. So happy Halloween to everybody out there in America. And if you're not in America, hey, have a happy day. There it is. Today, we get to explore the art of believing with one of my truly favorite authors. As you guys, if you've been listening to my podcast, are starting to learn that Neville Goddard is truly one of my favorites. He was deemed as maybe one of the most and one of the greatest mystics of his time and is still going on. And if you're familiar, there's a lot of people reading Neville Goddard on YouTube. And I wanted to highlight one of my favorites is Brian Scott. He has a YouTube channel that he reads Neville Goddard, and it's fantastic. So if you want to hear the entire text and books and lectures of Neville Goddard, I do some on my YouTube, and Brian has amazing. So today we're going to tap into prayer. Okay, yeah, big deal, Beth, prayer. The art of believing. Well, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and was introduced to Christianity from, you know, kind of the Baptist, Protestant type aspect, and I was always taught that prayer was really about asking for something outside of yourself, as well as it had to do with kind of begging and pleading when things weren't going well. Well, Neville just rocked that education and that impression that I got from other people. So I want to read the back of, you know, one of his books that has a compilation of many of his. And I'll just kind of give you an idea of what Neville has about in the regards of prayer, the art of believing, and Christ Jesus. So this is from one of his other books called The Awakened Imagination and the Search. And he says, through imagination, we disarm and transform the violence of the world. Our most intimate as well as our most casual relationships become imaginative as we awaken to the mystery hid from the ages, that Christ in us is our imagination. We then realize that only as we live by imagination can we truly be said to live at all. Now, I had never heard in my upbringing that Christ was my own imagination. So it really brought me to a level of curiosity. I'm like, this is really interesting. I've never heard this perspective. And I started reading about Neville Goddard about 6 years ago. And so where we are coming into the election season right now, and what if you and I and all of the people that are listening to this and all the people that you're going to spread it to, that we could use our imagination during these election times in the United States and going on in the world, that we could really disarm violence and that we could come from unity. So I'm going to teach you some things today from Neville Goddard that I really think that can help us do that. So with that, what are the essentials of the art of believing? Well, according to Neville and his book here, it's really about your controlled imagination, that it requires tranquility and peace of mind. Another essential art of believing is your own faith, and it must be permeated with understanding. Now, I had a lot of questions when I was being taught about religion, and I wanted it to be permeated with understanding. And so when someone didn't know the answer to my question, I would go looking for it in order to have an understanding of it. So two essentials of the art of believing is your own controlled imagination and your own faith of being understanding and being permeated with that. Well, we're going to start off with chapter one of this book. There's seven chapters that we get to go through. It's a pretty short read. And the first part of it is he introduces this law of reversibility. And I was like, Neville, what are you talking about? You know, now I'm going back into maybe some physics and science that I had in college. But he is saying, in essence, that if a physical fact can produce a psychological state, then a psychological state can produce a physical fact. You know, if you and I are thinking about right now, and maybe you wouldn't want to do this, but if you did, if you had the thought of literally cutting open a lemon and starting to squeeze it into your mouth, and you're tasting that just super sour, bitter, I don't know about you, but my mouth was starting to water. So my mental state, psychological state, actually started producing a physical state in my body. So there's a real simplistic way to look at that. So this law is of the highest importance because it enables you and I to foresee the inverse transformation. Now, some of this might be a little bit deep and you might want to replay this, or you may be very familiar with it, but the inverse transformation wants the direct transformation is verified. So if you knew the feeling, the feelings were you to realize your objective, which is your dream, then inversely, you would know what state you would realize were you to awaken in yourself such a feeling. So now is really allowing us to step into the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So asking, praying, which really and partly in Hebrew is really about us claiming and declaring that, believing you already possess what you ask for is based on the knowledge of the law of inverse transformation. It's basically realized prayer in a nutshell is what the law of inverse transformation is. So all transformations of force are reversible in a nutshell. So why does this matter to you and I? If you know how you would feel were you to realize your goals and your dreams, and then inversely you would know that what state you could realize you were to awaken in yourself such a feeling. And therefore, I'm just going to permeate into us. Remember that understanding that assuming the feelings of your wish fulfilled. So you get to know what you want. You get to know what it would feel like. You get to awaken to that. And it does actually take practice and repetition with that. So how do you and I actually assume this feeling? So some of the things that Neville gives to us is that we actually contemplate the joy that would be yours or mine were we to actually objectify our accomplished facts, and that we would focus basically our will, which is another way to say we're going to focus our energy and attention on being in the feelings as if you were living and moving and your wish realized. So you assume it, you sustain it, and it will realize. And I've shared in previous episodes that one of the things that I did this with was building, you know, a home of my dreams. I literally would allow my imagination to walk through the house and feel it and be in the, basically in the rooms. I would know what colors the walls are, what kind of wood's on the floor, what the counters would look like, what kind of appliances. And you're like, oh my goodness, Beth, you know, that's a lot of detail. Yet within 7 years, I was in that house. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I hadn't seen that home yet with my physical eyes, but I practiced and rehearsed the feeling of being in it on a daily basis, pretty much all the time. And then I would go off into, you know, doing my everyday things. But often I would tap into that. And it was kind of fun to do that as well. So one of the phrases that I like to come up with is be the artist of your alchemy and live in full expression. In the effect, in a nutshell, can be produced by the cause, then inversely, the effect can be produced by the cause. So here we are. Therefore, what things you desire, why you ask, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. When I speak with clients or future clients, they go, well, what is it really that you do as a life coach, Beth? And I'm like, well, really, I help people bring what's invisible to the visible. And all of us have this artistry and alchemy of life and adventures. And some of it is still in the invisible realm. And it's really fun to help people bring it visible. So now we move into a little bit of chapter two on, he deems this, Neville does, on dual nature of consciousness. Well, what is that? A clear concept of this dual nature must be the basis of all true prayer. So let's unpack this dual consciousness a little bit. It comes out in two parts. So the first part is consciousness. And that's what we know now, what we're aware of at this time. And then the other part of this dual nature of consciousness is our subconscious. And probably if you're listening to this episode, you may be very familiar with these two aspects of consciousness. And in review, or if it's new to you, our subconscious is truly what we are. It, the cause of our voluntary actions, it lies below the sphere of objective consciousness, and it is greater than the conscious. And one of the ways that it's put forth as wisdom coming from the Bible, which Neville references a lot, is I and my Father are one, but my Father is greater than I. Now, for a long time, I was like, I don't understand that. And remember, faith is about being permeated with understanding. So from Neville's perspective, and what he's sharing with us here, is that the Father represents the subconscious, and the I represents the conscious. And so really, our subconscious is the greater. So we want to be allowing to permeate down into that subconscious what we would really love. I quoted that. So let's look a little bit about the subconscious. Is that which everything is known, everything is possible, everything goes, from which everything comes, which belongs to all, to which all have access. Wow. That is definitely a wow. That the subconscious is almost like you're surrounded by the ultimate creativity source. Like, there's no limits at all. And we can permeate into that. So the power of our subconscious, assumptions. Here's a little quote. Whatever we plant in our subconscious mind and nourish, that's a key point, and nourish with repetition and emotion will one day become a reality. And I definitely did that with my home. I nourished it with repetition and emotion on a daily basis. So what does the subconscious influence? Since it's such a big part of us, it's going to influence our behavior. It's also going to influence our patterns of our objective existence, like our everyday doings. And the power to, here's another statement that Neville pulls out of the Bible of wisdom. He says that let us make man, meaning objective manifestations, in our image after our likeness. He's talking about our imagination. What we imagine on a consistent basis with repetition and emotion is going to objectify in our life. And basically, it releases and awakens the treasure house of eternity if we want that. you know, but we need to know what we want so that we're basically pressing into the subconscious in a repetitious and emotional way. So what unlocks this infinite storehouse that I just mentioned that Neville said? It really comes down to change your assumptions, and you're going to change your expression through basically the art of believing. So the subconscious reasons deductively. It's never concerned with the senses, interesting, rather the assumption of the correctness of the premise. So in other words, the subconscious really doesn't, it's just a piece of clay that you're impressing your thoughts and emotions on a daily basis, and it's going to create that form from that. So the subconscious is suggested into accepting your wish fulfilled, and the subjective mind is diffused consciousness. Our thoughts and feelings fused together are our beliefs, and our beliefs basically impress the modifications. So I want to read this short paragraph out of the book, The Art of Believing, and then we'll go to a short break after that. But here we go. Let's listen to a little bit of what Neville has to say about this. The conscious mind reasons inductively from observation, experience, and education. Now, you guys and I, that's basically what American culture school is that we are taught to reason inductively. We're taught to observe and experience and be educated. It therefore finds it difficult to believe what the five senses and inductive reason deny. The subconscious reasons, as I mentioned earlier, deductively, and is never concerned with the truth or the falsity of the premise, but proceeds on the assumption of the correctness of the premise and objectifies results which are consistent with the premise. Now, this distinction must be clearly seen by all who would master the art of praying. No true grasp of the science of prayer can really be obtained until the laws governing the dual nature of consciousness, conscious and subconscious, are understood and the importance of the subconscious realized. Now, there is a lot there and to unpack, but in a nutshell, we have our conscious brain and we have our subconscious, and there is a lot of power in what we are emotionalizing and feeling on a regular basis, basically how we talk to ourselves, which we're going to dive into. Chapter 3, we're going to come back after this short break, and we're going to talk more about imagination and faith. So right after this break, I'll be right back.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
Unlock the power of your dreams and break free of the past. On the Dream Diva podcast, we're dying to dream. Hi, I'm Kelly Keough, Dream Medium. Join my masterclass in shamanic journeying and intuitive dream interpretation to receive messages from your soul symbols, ancestors, guides, and spirit animals. Together, we'll explore precognitive dreams to help you live your best life. The Dream Diva podcast airs every Wednesday at noon Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you trying to build something new or break away from something that no longer serves you? Are your batteries drained or struggling to hold a charge? Let me, Erica Gifford Mills, help empower you to make and maintain the positive changes you are aching for. Together, we will make a plan for your growth and new path that you can accomplish. Visit my website, GetRootedRadio.com, to schedule your free Empower Hour today.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? you. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Beth Wolf, and I am your host with Life in Full Expression. Today on Halloween, I want to wish you guys all a happy holiday, however you are spending it. Stay safe out there. And today we're diving into this next segment, still on the art of believing, and how Neville Goddard, from his book called Prayer and the Art of Believing, we're unpacking the seven chapters in this book. So this segment, we're going to move into chapter 3, all about imagination and faith, some of my favorite playgrounds that I like to be in. And starting off here with prayers are not successfully made unless there is a rapport between the conscious and the subconscious. Now, if you got to listen to the first segment, I shared with you that I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, learning about Christianity through kind of the Baptist and Protestant Bible. And this was never introduced to me about prayer, that I, in order to have a successful prayer life, that I would have a rapport between my conscious and subconscious mind. I didn't even know about that. So here goes Neville with this extraordinary, you know, as I start reading this 6 years ago, mind blowing. I'm like, oh, wow, Neville, what are you talking about? And I'm very curious about things. So he says that this is done through your imagination and faith. So if you would love to have successful prayers, well, stay with me. Let's unpack this together. So what is needed to actually create your objective conditions is, first, your imagination is the beginning of all growth of all forms, and your faith is the substance out of which they are formed. So imagination is the beginning, you know, like an idea downloads into you, and then your faith is basically the substance that's going to form it. Now, how do you and I actually establish a rapport between the conscious and the subconscious? You know, you could actually allow yourself to personify them if you want to. And he begins by telling us that we want to actually call the subject mentally. And we want to focus our attention, focus our energy. And then I find this third one kind of fun. He actually says shout, mentally shout inside your head to the name of maybe the person you would like to attract attention to. So in this particular text, he's actually talking about, usually you're praying not only for yourself, but you're praying for somebody, right? There's people that go, hey, would you pray for me? So he's basically telling us to shout mentally inside our head for that person. You know, let's say that her name is Kathy, and you're like, hey, Kathy. But I'm not actually saying it loud. It's mentally in my head. And we imagine that, I imagine in my head that Kathy is actually hearing me and that I actually hear her voice. So this is all done in your imagination. And then you represent to her yourself inwardly of what you would desire. So let's say that she has some kind of disease, and you're saying to Kathy, and she goes, hey, what, Beth? And I'm like, it is so great to see you in vibrant health right now. I mean, just what was it? A month ago, you could barely walk on your leg. And now look at you, you can walk miles, you're just no pain at all. And Kathy, in this mental imagination, is in agreement with me. She's like, it's amazing. I just love it. It's just great to have all this vibrant health and be able to walk and go to the grocery store. And then after that, you return to your objective consciousness and you go about your day. And that, in essence, is what Neville's talking about, that you have a rapport with your conscious and your subconscious. Is that easy or what? That is so easy. It's simple. It's super simple. Well, I wanted to read a little bit more of his words out of his book, a little bit of old English Bible coming out here, so hang in there with me. He says that, he's quoting here, "Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. It is not a strong will that sends the subjective word on its mission so much as it is clear thinking and feeling the truth of the state affirmed." So you notice when I was talking about Kathy, and I put emotion with it. We were both really excited in my mental image that she was in vibrant health. Neville goes on to say, when belief and will are in conflict, belief inevitably wins. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. There's a really cool song I used to listen to all the time about that. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Literally, the imagination is being basically represented by the spirit that you are sending it forth. So it is not what you want that you attract. You attract what you believe to be true. Therefore, get into the spirit of these mental conversations and give them the same degree of reality that you would a telephone conversation or a FaceTime conversation. It doesn't say that in here, but I thought I'd add it. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall receive them. The acceptance of the end wills the means, and the wisest reflection could not devise more effective means than those which are willed by the acceptance of the end. Mentally talk to your friends as though your desires for them were already realized. So that, in Neville's words and from wisdom of the Bible, that's what he's talking about, is we are using our imagination and our faith of assuming the wish fulfilled that these are already occurring. Pretty cool, huh? Very simple. That is how you establish that rapport. So the subconscious mind is the universal conductor. Did you guys know that we were a conductor? And the operator modifies with his or her thoughts and feelings. You and I are the operators. Visible states are either the vibratory effects. Now, this is a little bit of, you know, science, but hang in there. You got this. I believe you completely understand this. Visible states are either the vibratory effects of subconscious vibrations within you, or they are vibratory causes of the corresponding vibrations with you. So we got a little bit of cause and effect here. A disciplined person, which let's just put out there that we all right? I see it. It's amazing how disciplined you are in the areas of your life that you love. And so a disciplined person never permits them to be causes unless they awaken in themselves the desirable states of consciousness. Do you see the incredible power that lies within us with our imagination? So a little bit more reading here from Neville on the knowledge of the law of reversibility is down here on page 186. He says, with knowledge of the law of reversibility, which is that cause and effect, the disciplined man transforms his or her world by imagining and feeling only what is lovely and of good report. We're going to find out why that's so important that we focus on those kind of things. The beautiful idea he or she awakens within himself or herself shall not fail to arouse its affinity in others. He or she knows the savior of the world is not a man, but the manifestation that would save. The sick man's savior is health. The hungry man's is food, and the thirsty man's savior is water. He walks in the company of the Savior by assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. So by the law of reversibility, that all transformations of force are reversible. The energy or feeling awakened transforms itself into the state imagined. He never waits 4 months for the harvest. In 4 months, the harvest will awaken in him a state of joy. Then inversely, the joy of harvest now will awaken the harvest now. Now is the acceptable time to give beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, if you have studied the Bible, I gave probably about 20, 25 years of my life of studying that. These scriptures are coming at a whole different meaning to me. I'm like, oh my goodness, wow. Just absolutely transforming. So you guys, we're a conductor, and we can be a conductor of good report. So one of my favorite things that Neville talks about is in chapter 4 called The Controlled Reverie. There actually was a TV show that came on for a short time that actually was called Reverie, and they would use their imagination and this technology, and they would go into this game type thing. It was really cool. It was kind of along these lines. But in chapter 4, a controlled reverie is we are amenable to psychological laws which govern the ordinary hypnotic subject. So we're kind of talking a little bit about hypnotic states, and hypnosis is really our objective senses are partly or totally suspended. I think of this in the Bible when it talks about Jesus goes away by himself and prays. He's actually going away from all his senses, which in essence we could use a little bit like that with meditation. So the activity and the power of our subjective mind are proportionate to the sleep of our objective mind. Now, the hypnotic state, simply being unaware objectively, that means that now our senses are dimmed and we can actually begin to let some new things in. So what does it look like for us to have this reverie in action? Well, it starts off with a bold assertion by you or I that we visualize the subject and imagine mental conversation again is fixed ideas awaken the vibratory correlates. So suggest ideas with the utmost of care. Kind of like one of the other verses is, you know, stand guard at the portal of your mind. You don't want just any little thing going in there because it's impressing upon your subconscious mind. So whatever you suggest with confidence is law to the subjective mind. That's, you know, anything that you want is under obligation to actually objectify that which you mentally affirm. So if you're practicing a story over and over again, and the conditions and circumstances are showing up in your life over and over again, and you don't like them, then you could use the power of this reverie and begin to call forth from your imagination a whole different set of circumstances, conditions, and situations. So you start in the invisible, and then it becomes visible. And it doesn't just happen with one time. We get to hold this image over and over again until you actually see it objectified. So imagination and faith, faith is belief and focus of your energy, are the secrets of creation, according to The Art of Believing by Neville Goddard. So now we fly into chapter 5 and the law of thought transmission. This is pretty cool. He's going to give a really cool example here. We are transmitters of thoughts and feelings. Do you ever notice that you go in a room and you feel a good vibe or you feel a not so good vibe? We're putting off energy. All of us are energy in motion. So Praying successfully. I love that idea. We first got to remember that no word of God, meaning no word or mental image of your imagination, shall be void of power. Therefore, hold fast the pattern of healthful words which you have heard. Again, things of good rapport. We want to be mindful of what kind of conversations we're having inside our head. One of the phrases that I like to use with my clients is, I'm like, is it safe to walk down the hallway of your mind, or are you kicking your own ass? You know, ask yourself that. So second up in praying successfully is having clearly defined objectives. Now, sometimes people, the first answer they'll have is, I don't know what I want, but they know what they don't want. So you can start there. Go ahead and write a list down of everything you don't want. And then you can begin to go, well, what would be opposite of that? And what would I really love to express from that? So that's a starting point. Okay, you don't know what you want. Write that down and then start from there. Because know what you want before you can ask for it. You can't ask for it if you don't know what you want. And you must know what you want before you can feel that you have it. And this is probably what I experience most in my life coaching business and health is, could you actually feel vibrant, abundant health? Well, you're not going to feel it if you don't actually know that you want it and ask for it. And then third, you have nothing to do but convince yourself of the truth of that which you desire to see manifested. You don't need to convince anybody else but our own self. That makes it easier. You don't have to go out there and tell everybody. It's more about you, again, having that rapport within yourself. So when you emerge from prayer, meaning when you emerge from having that rapport and the feeling of your fulfilled desire, this is kind of cool what comes next. Neville says that you no longer seek, for you have. I'm like, oh, Neville, that's good. That's so good, because I was so taught that even I would just keep asking, please give me this, God, please give me that. Oh, I would love to have health. Now, one of the things that I asked for years is I was modeled a certain kind of parenting style that I really didn't love. It was a little bit volatile and angry. And so I was always asking for my anger to be extinguished. Well, I didn't know about how to pray successfully. So knowing the laws of the universe now, guess what happened? Well, because I was focused on anger and the extinguishing, in order for the anger to be, for anything to be extinguished, there still had to be anger there. Do you get what I'm saying? I just made it worse for myself. So then when I became aware of this, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled, that I am this calm, serene, wonderful person, and that I can parent with calmness. I can parent with questions. I can parent with fun. And lo and behold, that began to happen in my life and still continues to build. So subconsciously assuming the reality of the state of being you sought by the law of reversibility, that cause and effect, your subconscious must objectify that which you're affirming in that rapport. It must happen. And you stay in faith because you're permeated with understanding of this law of reversibility. You keep having a rapport with it, it will objectify. You don't have to beg. I was like, oh, this is so cool. So to transmit a force, you get to be a conductor. Now, Neville explains the principle of a photophone. We're going back in history now, or the transmission of the voice by light to help us understand thought transmission. He says that a ray of light reflected by a mirror and then projected to a receiver at a distant point. Well, the back of the mirror is a mouthpiece. Speaking into the mouthpiece, you cause the mirror to actually vibrate. And vibrating mirror modifies the light reflected on it. Kind of cool, huh? Learn a little science here. Modified light has your speech to carry, not as speech, but now it's transformed from a sound to a mechanical correlate. So causing really the disc to vibrate according to the modification it undergoes, reproducing a voice. So Neville's just giving us a little basic science of what's going on there. So your consciousness is light reflected on the mirror of your mind and projected into space. We're a projector, we're a conductor, we're transmitting thoughts and feelings. We are basically energy. So consciousness, light, mirror, mind, projection. Mentally speaking to the subjective image in your mind causes the mirror of your mind to vibrate. And your vibrating mind modifies the light of consciousness reflected on it. Now, that modified light of consciousness reaches the one toward who it is directed and impinges on the mirror, basically, of her mind. So we're talking about here really that if you are sending a particular mental state of beingness, like I was talking about Kathy as an example in here, that I am actually using my mind to project that mechanical vibration. And it causes her mind to vibrate according to the modification it undergoes. Now, that person can choose to receive that or not, and reproducing in her what was mentally affirmed by me on sending Kathy, you know, great health. So then this is where Neville brings up the phrase, another wisdom phrase from the Bible of, I am the light of the world. I'm like, that is amazing. I am the knowledge that I exist is a light by means of which what passes in your mind is rendered visible. So couple two elements here, memory and perception. So your memory, my memory, is the ability to mentally see what is objectively present. And it proves that your mind is a mirror, so sensitive a mirror that it can reflect a thought. And the perception of an image in memory in no way differs as a visual act from the perception of your image in a mirror. And I'm just going to paraphrase this quote I heard about Alice in Wonderland, where the queen says to Alice, and this is not exact, but this is the gist of it, you know, Alice, what do you remember about tomorrow? And Alice goes, haven't lived tomorrow yet, so there's no memory. And the queen says something to this. She says, well, what good is your memory if it only goes in one direction? So we're seeing that us, by being the light of the world, that our memory is not just about what we lived in the past, but almost a precognition memory of what we're putting out there and projecting for ourselves. So your subjective words, your subconscious assumptions actually awaken what is affirming in you. So your beliefs, fixed attitudes of mind, constantly modifying your consciousness as it is reflected on the mirror of your mind. Basically, your consciousness modifies your beliefs and objectifies itself into the conditions of the world. So again, if you are having circumstances, conditions, and situations in your world that you don't love, or you do love, in essence, we're the cause. You know, you're the cause of your conditions and I'm the cause of my conditions. Yes, there are bigger worldly conditions going on, yet just imagine if we all had good tidings and good rapport that was going on. Wow, what a transformation we could have for our world. So whatever state has your attention holds your life. Let me say that again. Whatever state of beingness, your feelings and your thoughts, has your attention, basically holds your life. If you remember a state of being, it will return that condition. That's why you want to be mindful about, are you retelling a story that you're choosing to remember, but you do not like the outcome of it? If that's the case, you probably don't want to tell that story again. I have clients that will tell the story over and over and over again, and I have an imaginary pause button. I'm like, let's just pause. Let's just pause that story. Do you want to keep having the circumstances and conditions from that story? And they're like, no. I go, well, then let's tell a new story. So I want to read a little bit more from Neville's book. And let me find the page here real quick as I put my glasses on for us all. And this is, again, about the law and thought of transmission. And here he says that nothing can be added to man, for the whole of creation is already perfected in him. Whoa. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Heaven is your subconsciousness. And I found this really interesting. I mean, I'm very curious about it. I'm in process of learning like you are. But he says, not even a sunburn is given from without. The rays without only awaken corresponding rays within. Were the burning rays not contained within man, all the concentrated rays in the universe could not burn him. Were the tones of health not contained within the consciousness of the one whom they are affirmed, they could not be vibrated by the word which is sent. You do not really give to another, you resurrect that which is asleep within him. So as you and I are sending out words of healing and good rapport and good tidings, it's not necessarily anything that we are doing. It's that vibration that is actually awakening that very state of beingness that's already in them. And that's just so cool. So the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Death is merely a sleeping and forgetting. Age and decay are the sleep, not death, of youth and health. Recognition of a state vibrates or awakens it. So what would you love to have awakened in you? You cannot give what you don't have. Let's take a short break and we'll finish up this chapter. And I'm going to introduce to you in this transmission of what would you love to have so that you could be actually give not only to yourself, but your community and ultimately to the world. So let's take a break and I'll be right back after this.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Welcome back, you guys, to this last segment that we are spending in the spiritual dimension of Life in Full Expression. I'm your host, Beth Wolf, and we're talking about The Art of Believing and a book written by Neville Goddard called Prayer, The Art of Believing. And in this last segment, I'm talking about you cannot give what you do not have. So starting off, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that's from the book of Philippians, I believe, in the New Testament of the Bible. And I have read this scripture over and over and over and over again. And I was taught that it really had to do with, you better not think bad thoughts because that's a sin. And I was like, okay, I better, you know. It wasn't fun. Now, how Neville presents it, I'm like, this is fun because we are awakening our imagination and states of beingness that whatever's lovely, whatever's good, virtue is basically you and I living out our values, which is going to add, basically we're assets to the world. That if there be anything of praise, there is a law of increase. So if we're praising, we're increasing that. We're not increasing the criticism. Think on these things. What if we had this going through this election season that, you know, what if we were all thinking on things that were lovely, good report? And I'm not saying deny that that there's challenges, but again, you know, having this kind of energy and focus can really make a difference. So here we go. Never accept as true of others what you would not want to be true of you. To awaken a state within another, it must first be awake within you. So man, if you see something you don't care for in someone else, you might just look in the mirror and go, is that awakened in me? And let's say it is. Then see in your imagination and have a rapport mentally that that person has it too. You don't even need to go talk to them about it. You can just send a beautiful, loving vibration towards them. So the state you would transmit to another can only be transmitted if it is believed by you. Therefore, to give is actually to receive. And you cannot give what you do not have, and you have only what you believe. So to believe a state as true of another and only really not only awakens that state with the other, but really, it makes it alive within you and I. You are what you believe. So how do you and I be a powerful transmitter of this? Well, it starts with during the day at times, not through the entire day, but at times you disregard appearances and subjectively affirm as true that which you wish to be true. Now, I just asked my, you know, beautiful partner with that. I'm like, would you help me? Would you help me hold this vision true? You know, let's have conversations as if it already exists. And she said, yes. So awaken the tones of your dreams within you. Your world is a mirror of your beliefs. And so you and I have an opportunity to focus our attention on visual images, mental sounds, or even mental actions in this. We are powerful transmitters. So this next and last chapter that I'm going to talk about, there's seven, but we're kind of running a little short on time, is really about, chapter six is about good tidings. Now, I always heard that around the holiday season, and as we go into the holiday season, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him or her that bringeth good tidings. That publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation. Again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that bring good tidings. So how can you and I bring good tidings to another person? Well, call before your mind's eye the subjective image of the person you wish to help and have him or her affirm that which you desired in him. Again, this is a mental conversation, a rapport that you're having. Imagine that person already being in that state of beingness. And remember that you are sending them a vibratory correlate. You know, the mental act awakens the state of beingness within them if they so choose to accept that. There may be times that they are maybe not ready to accept it. And as soon as you subjectively affirm that it is done, results follow. In other words, you don't have to beg for it to follow. See that it has already happened. You know, and how can the failure happen? Again, if that person does not necessarily want it, or that actually it even, I love how he put this, that if the person doesn't receive it at that time, the good tidings, then it actually just comes right back to you. And that's why I said that good tidings is really important. So what might be the most fruitful prayer that you can remember from this short little podcast is that you and I come from the feeling of the wish fulfilled, that we think upon things that are of good report and lovely, and that we are wishing people well, and that we are sending that out into the world. So I really want to encourage you that as you talk to yourself and have those mental images, that they are filled with that, especially as we go into this election season and this holiday season that you might be with family. And I look forward to seeing you next week at TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is Beth Wolf, your host of Life in Full Expression, as we have spent time in the spiritual dimension today about prayer and the art of believing by Neville Goddard. I'll see you next Monday at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Until then, keep imagining good tidings.
Thanks for tuning in to Life in Full Expression with me, Beth Wolf. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be your most elevated self and pursue a path of fulfillment, clarity, expansion, fun, and living your best life. If you would like to discover the seven dimensions of your life blueprint of expression, to fully express yourself, reveal your heart's clarity for dynamic direction, and activate your unique capability, visit BethWolf.com. That's Beth, W-O-L-F-E.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.